Welcome to an entertainment edition of Radio Rehab. I'm your host, Dana, and today I am interviewing Richard E. Grant, which is crazy because he's been in every single movie I love, every single movie I know. He's one of those guys, like, for example, my mom goes, "Who's he?" And then I make her Google him, and she's like, "Oh, he's that guy." Yeah, he's that guy in everything. The funny thing is he was in my favorite movie with Nell and I, and I was talking about this before we even started recording the interview. I just walked in and said, "Hey, I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of With Nell and I," which makes me like everybody else in the world because everybody loves the movie. And then I told him that my now husband, when we met, he made me watch it because he's like, "We can't date if you haven't seen this movie because it's my favorite." And then later on, he realized I was with Nail because that was me drinking like a gallon of gin in the morning. Like I was his character in that movie. And I told him that. And then he said, "How long have you been sober?" And I said, 3 years. And he gave me a high five. And it was so awesome to get one from him. And I thought, you know, because he plays us alcoholics so well, I figured this guy's a drinker. Guess what? He's not. Like, alcoholism runs in his family and he doesn't even drink because it makes him sick. So I wish I had known these things going into the interview, and I wish I was less nervous because this is one of those interviews where it's like I'm just looking at this face that I've seen a million times. He's in everything I love. And I got nervous. Like, I forgot things that I wanted to talk about. I didn't touch on things that I wanted to talk about. I was just nervous. And he's just so charming. Like, the guy is so cool. He dresses good. Everything he says is cool. He's funny. He was picking on me and producer Char, asking if we fought. I mean, he's just great. Really charming and really brilliant. And just, I don't know. I got flummoxed. Is that, am I making it words now? Is that what's happening? So about the movie, Can You Ever Forgive Me? It was absolutely amazing. It's starring Richard E. Grant and Melissa McCarthy. Jane Curtin is also in it. And it's the true story of a writer named Lee Israel, who was actually, she was a real writer and she stopped making money on her work. And then she started plagiarizing letters from famous authors like Noel Coward, for example. And she writes it in the style of Noel Coward, the forged letters. So it's actually brilliant. And she starts doing this. She starts her life of crime because her cat is sick. She can't afford to take the cat to the vet. So you had me at that, basically. Let's join my interview with Richard E. Grant, and please try to ignore how insanely nervous I am because he's cool.
Welcome to Radio Rehab. Here's your host, Dana Keys.
Thank you so much for joining us today. First of all, I love the movie. I never get starstruck, but it's like you're the person I love and all the movies I love. So it's like kind of amazing sitting in front of you.
Thank you very much.
You probably get that a lot, though, because you have a very recognizable face.
I don't get that a lot.
You don't?
I'm very grateful. But I'm sure that you say this to a lot of people.
I do not. I swear I don't. I don't. I totally don't. She'll call me out. Lots of eye rolling and stuff like that.
Okay.
It's funny when I came to see the movie, complete side note, but I'm way too overprotective of my cats. And one of my cat had like an ingrown paw nail and I was having to take her to the vet. And right when I sat down, I'm like, oh my God. Because I would totally turn to a life of crime for my cats. It makes perfect sense. Yeah. So I love that. I love this. I completely identify, and I'm a curmudgeon. I'm grouchy a lot of the time, you know, unless I have to be like on the microphone. When I'm at home, I'm just like, my hair's all up and I'm grouchy. I'm totally her, I feel like. Like, I love this movie.
And I love that about it. And it's the fact that it was mostly crewed by women, written by a woman, produced by a woman, directed by a woman, starring a woman, playing a very curmudgeonly, prickly character. It was, you know, I knew that I was in for a detestosterized collaborative environment, which it proved to be.
And Melissa McCarthy was so great in it.
Wasn't she?
Oh my God, she was so amazing.
So I have something to tell you. She's an awful person in real life. She's mean. She's lazy.
I love
it. She doesn't know her lines. Just terrible breath. And she hated me from the get-go. So it was a nightmare.
So it was a totally abusive relationship where you had to pretend to be friends on camera.
The Me Too movement, no. The Melissa Me movement. She was just... I worshipped her. She was absolutely brilliant, as you can imagine. And hilarious and funny and emotionally present and available and collaborative. All the things that you want and hope somebody's going to be.
Right.
And of course, while being a total diva that required, you know, she had four minions toasting her toenails in the evening and buffing her hair and, you know, all of that.
Making her hair look just frumpy enough.
Yeah.
Or back to beautiful.
Carried around by four people who, on their backs.
Oh, okay.
She's that kind of person.
That's kind of how I imagined her to be. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly. The Queen of Sheba.
Yeah. She's usually so funny and everything. But every time I see her even have a serious moment in a funny film, she's brilliant.
Yeah, isn't she just?
She's brilliant.
Yeah.
And I think wasn't originally Julianne Moore was going to play the Lee Israel, and then it changed.
That's what I read.
Right, that's what I read too.
Yeah. So.
But I didn't find that out until after I saw.
Yeah.
And Melissa McCarthy, that's her. I can't imagine anybody else playing it.
Yeah,
of course.
Absolutely extraordinary. Yeah, I agree with you.
And I also, what I love is it's kind of, I've always wanted to live in New York in the 70s. So I would need a time machine, like, or the 80s, when it was affordable for anyone to live there.
Exactly.
But it was so cool getting to see that time period and getting to look at the costumes and just like the bar life and everything.
Yeah.
It was so cool to watch.
Yeah, when people smoked in bars.
And yes.
And they weren't, you know, head bent to their cell phones.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's one thing about it. Nobody had a cell phone.
Yeah.
I know. And she had to, I remember when you guys were sort of crank calling in one scene.
Had to go to phone box.
I know. And I was like, oh my, it occurred to me. I'm like, oh, no one even knew who was on the other end of the call. And they still answered and they lived.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. We're alive.
Exactly. No, I'm glad you picked up on that.
No. Oh, I loved that. I loved everything about it. I really loved your relationship. So I know it because it's a real story about Lee Israel. Was this relationship with Richard also like a very real thing?
Yeah, well, I arrived in New York on a Wednesday in January last year, and Melissa was on five other projects, and Marielle Heller said, well, you'll meet her on Monday when we start shooting. And I thought, oh no, I'll be too paranoid. I won't be able to sleep all weekend. I've got to meet her beforehand. At least is Melissa going to be here at least on Friday before shooting on Monday? And she said, yeah. And it turned out that Melissa was also keen to just have a meeting beforehand. So we went through the whole script and had lunch together and found out that we were essentially all on the same page. So that made it much easier. And of course, you know, I realized within 15 nanoseconds that she's a real mensch, and that you could just, you know, there was, anything went with her. And she was so committed to playing this part and being authentic to the spirit of Lee Israel that, you know, it was a gift. And there's so many jobs where I've been on because of my vast age. You go, people say, you know, did you have a great time? Oh, yeah, we were a happy family and we did all this and we're best friends. You know, it's just a crock of shit.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, we are friends, and we had a glorious time making this.
Oh, I heard that. I heard that her anniversary party with her husband was like you were there. I don't know how that came up. I was just researching stuff, and I was like, why? What is it? This is about her anniversary party, but it says your name.
Yeah.
Like you were the gift, or you were there as a gift to her.
I was the gift.
Yes.
I am the gift.
You are the gift.
McCarthy.
One day it will be a documentary, not an acted movie
being
called
made
The
right
Gift.
Now.
About you.
Yeah.
I think you're great in everything.
Oh, thank you.
It's like, one good thing I feel about your character is it's like, well, I love the curmudgeon character, but I know some people will be like, oh, she's grouchy. But then you come in and it's like the jubilant.
The opposite.
With the drinks.
Antidote.
Yes.
The drinks.
Great.
Let's
the drinks
the
and the Coke. And I love it. It's like, oh, there's my guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Party Central in one person.
Yes.
In the old coat. Exactly.
You do. You play that so well, though. And
Thank you.
I could almost tell that there's a chemistry between you and Melissa McCarthy when I'm watching it.
Good.
What do you think of Lee Israel? The real Lee Israel.
I think that she pulled off the most extraordinary act of literary ventriloquism. In that, to be able to convincingly and successfully imitate Dorothy Parker to Lillian Hellman to Noel Coward, everybody up, down, and sideways in between, the great literary figures of the 20th century, I think that is an astonishing thing to have pulled off. And nobody got hurt. you know, autograph dealers, they got a bit burnt cash-wise.
Right.
But those writers' reputations, I think, were enhanced.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know, nobody, you know, was it worth going to jail for in the scheme of things when, you know, the current Mr. Kavanaugh has been appointed to a lifelong job in the Senate. You go, right, okay, Lee Israel, that's small, that's tuppence halfpenny compared to real crimes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I agree.
You do.
And it's also such a skilled crime, and it's brilliant. How do you write like Noel Coward? Yeah. I mean...
And convince Noel Cowardians that they were the real thing.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, Can You Ever Forgive Me is what Dorothy Parker could have, would have, should have said.
But
Lee Israel said it.
I was actually trying to explain that. I was talking to my grandmother every night over the phone. I was trying to explain this to her. And I was like, but you would, because I said Noel Coward and her ears pricked up. And I was like, but you would believe it was written by him.
Okay, so Lee is Jewish or was Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
And Melissa is not. Was that an issue at all for you that you thought this is a non-Jewish actor playing a Jewish role?
You know what? I didn't even think about that.
Exactly.
Because clearly McCarthy.
Yeah.
You know, no. Israel. They couldn't be more obvious with their last names about who they are.
Mikalski.
Yes. Right. No, I thought it was perfect. I loved it.
Right.
I thought it was great.
Good.
But the way she became sorry, I didn't mean to step on your foot.
That's okay.
The way she became Dorothy Parker, that was the one she said that her grandson inherited her original nose.
Yes.
And should she pay for repairs now?
Exactly.
I thought that was so funny.
Yeah. Oh, no, she was doing that about Fanny Bryce.
Oh, it was Fanny Bryce. Okay.
Fanny Bryce. And then she imitated Nora Ephron on the telephone.
Yes.
And took out a cease and desist order on her saying, you cannot imitate me on the phone to my agent anymore.
She did?
Yeah, she did.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant. And then Jane Curtin, of course, was so funny.
Oh, she was.
Like, it's just so funny. And you could just tell how annoyed she was with Lee Israel.
Yeah.
But I also kind of felt like I could see love there, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, cause she's so funny.
Yeah.
Somebody's
a pain in the ass and you just say, you've got to get your act together.
Otherwise,
you're never going to sell a book.
A pain in the ass, but a brilliant, very entertaining pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Which
like
makes
you.
It. Yeah, I was just going to say, I know right now she's going, not you. At least you're funny. No, but I was trying to explain to my grandmother how you would actually believe that these letters were written by Noel Coward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there should be some kind of a trade in its own where you bring these authors back to life because it can be done. I think that's a great idea.
Very good idea.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Not a jailable offense.
Literary holograms.
A great idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literary holograms. I love it. Well, I love this movie. I can't love this movie enough. I'm actually going to see it for a second time next week. So,
thank you.
And I don't never actually see movies twice. So
it's because of the cat.
That's one reason.
Yes, that's a good reason.
I was sold on the cat.
That was an amazing cat.
The cat was so good.
Yeah.
I mean, every part of it, where she's eating the shrimp and then the cat doesn't eat.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, how many cats?
Because when they quit eating.
You know, you're supposed to be able to train cats. Yeah, I don't think you can really train cats.
No, they train you.
That cat did not go near that shrimp when it was told not to. And when it said you can, it did.
Really?
Yeah, it was in the veterinarian and she's saying, you know, my cat's in deep health problems. The cat sneezed during
I heard
the
that. I was like, is that real? Did I hear that? The cat did sneeze.
Yeah, so we thought this is an animatronic. They've slipped that in there because this cat is too good.
Melissa
was furious because the cat was out acting. Huh?
Of course she was.
Yeah.
Like, we have to get a different cat.
Exactly.
Maybe a ginger tabby. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cat was brilliant.
Yeah.
Everybody should win something for this movie.
Exactly.
It was great.
Thank
Especially
you.
The cat. The cat needs to be at the Oscars next year. I loved it.
Thank you.
Thank you for agreeing to talk to us.
It's pleasure.
Been a pleasure meeting you.
Likewise.
Please go see Can You Ever Forgive Me? It was really awesome. It opens in select theaters today, October 26th, and then it opens wider next week. If you would like to contact us, it's radiorehab@gotoproductions.com. That's goto-productions.com. 415-496-9511. You can call or text on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's at Radio Rehab Dana. Next week, we're ramping up with all new guest episodes. We're back to talking about addiction and recovery. I'm an extra special guest in studio because it's somebody I've grown up with in radio and known for years and years and years, who is now my brother in sobriety, Mike No Name Nelson. I really look forward to doing those episodes. Thank you for listening. Keep coming back.